Good morning. I thank God for you and I are able to be sitting here at beautiful sanctuary to worship Him today. Nothing in this world say that is guaranteed for all of us for next week. But for today, we praise His name. Allow us to be here to worship Him and thank Him. And I personally thank Him for the privilege to share this hour of worship with you. You know, this church, the staff particularly, have a lot of connection with the Chinese Baptist Church. In fact, your English pastor, Fred Top, was the only one and the first and only one Chinese pastor welcomed me to Houston 7 years ago by taking me to lunch in Kim Sun. First time I learned about Kim Sun restaurant and the Vietnamese food. He truly is a brother. He's faithful to God and really loves the people whom he serves. He arranged and helped to establish the English pastor, Chinese English pastor fellowship. We meet once a month. And he arranged a retreat for us and the wives to refresh. He truly is a leader. I know that I don't need to tell you that, but I like to tell you as someone outside the church, affirm that you have really a great leader and a loving pastor. Not only that, he has brought visions. You know, the annual teach conference we now have in Second Baptist, you know, Pastor Fred had a great hand in establishing that years ago. I'm glad that you allow him to take a year sabbatical. He's been here a long time, but he's not resting, I understand. By the time he comes back, hopefully, with God's help, he'll be Dr. Fred. Let's pray for him. Yes, my wife and I, have been retired from our English pastor position in Chinese Baptist Church since March. And we really have been enjoying it. We went to a cruise in Alaska and recently returned from Smoky Mountain, where we learn about hillbilly music and who Dolly Parton is. And that not all fun and game, though, because the cruise we went was with the Southwest Chinese Baptist Church. Pastor Peter Long Church, some of you know him. And it was a Bible church. We have time to talk about Jesus. And same thing with the Smoky Mountain. Sure, we had devotion every day. In fact, by the end of the tour, one lady accepted Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this because I still try to work out what retirement really is. But I discovered the other day, a few days ago, when I began to prepare for the message, the Word of God, the time with Him, are still the most exciting time for me. So I'm glad here today, able to share with you about love Jesus and about freedom. Before I begin, I must want to say a few words about the other half of our team. No pastor is called to serve by himself. The other half is our wife. I'm so proud that my wife goes everywhere with me, and she is my soulmate, and she's my personal researcher on Bible verses. If I forget where the verses are, she's the one, never fail, and find it for me without the help of the computer. And if God so choose, allow me to speak in Korean churches, and she's also my official translator, I'm glad, because sometimes I'm not sure she should preach my sermon or hers, because they always laugh and have a great time when she translates. And I would not go anywhere without her. She's been my soulmate, and my wife and mine, everywhere, everything for 43 years. So I'm glad that she's here today. Hopefully that she'll continue to pray with me and for me as I share the Word of God with you. Yes, today is 4th July, the Independence Day of the United States of America. By the way, I have an outline in the bulletin, so choose, you may follow it along. is the Independence Day for United States of America. It is the most significant benchmark in the history of our nations. It's the beginning of the great experiment of democracy. And it is the great advancement, greatest advancement of human rights. You see, United States not only is a great nation for us to live in, it is also a beacon to the rest of the world. Most people exist, I didn't say live, exist in a very dismal way of life. The other day, I was watching television. They're showing the people of the world what their thoughts were when they saw the emblems of America on the embassies throughout the world. You and I are greatly privileged. We do not look at this great country at a distance like we look at heaven with admiration, but we actually have the privilege of living in it. And I'm telling you today, you too have the privilege not only living in this great country, but someday with God in heaven. And today is a good time to celebrate of this, the birth of this great nation. There will be fireworks. Many of you and some of people in the world, I mean in our country, have their picnics and we have parades everywhere. And rightfully we should celebrate for this great gift of God. And it's also a time not only to celebrate, but to remember, first, as we have done earlier, what God has done to make this possible. Without God's help, the great experiment in democracy, the great advancement in human rights would not be possible. But also, it's time to pay tribute to several groups of people. First of all, the father of our country, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, and on and on. For their bold and daring vision that they can, with a handful of people, with virtually no resources in comparison to England in terms of military resources, they declare independence from their control and oppressions. Richer life, everything they have. We also want to thank each successive generation after them for investing their sweat, tear, and blood in defending, in preserving the way of life that you and I enjoy. Even to the point of giving up their life. Let me say a word about war. Whether you agree with all the war that America has engaged and engaging right now, when you cut out all the talk from the politicians, all the do-gooders in the world, as an ex-military man, I can tell you, really the bottom line for going to war is to preserve the way of life that you and I, Americans, enjoy. It is better to fight overseas in the old days, the philosopher was, rather than fight in our country. A lot of people did not understand Vietnam. I was there. It is because of the fear of the domino effect that communism may come to our country and infect the people in this country, and then therefore the way of life we enjoy will be giving up like that was in China. But there's a price to pay. So today, I want to recognize a very special group of people. They have given their life, given their all in the various war that we have participated. So, will my fellow veteran, please do us an honor, rise up, let's recognize you. Big hand. Thank you so much. I can tell this is a much younger crowd than CPC. When I asked that question, half of the congregation stood up. In fact, many of the veterans that fought World War II have been honored by the city and many people recently that were part of our church. Today, in the 21st century, you and I, the citizens of this country, enjoy freedom to the greatest level that ever known to human history. Where else but in America, you get up in the middle of the night, decide you're going to have a pizza or McDonald's, whatever you want to do. Hop in your car, just drive wherever you want to go. Nobody questioned you. Or, as I often complain, the heat of Houston since I moved from the Bay Area. Sometime I wish I moved back to the place I grew up, Idaho, where it's nice and cool in the summer. I could pick up and go. Do you know, most of the people in the world cannot do this. You cannot do this in China. They decided to move from Canton and make residence in Shanghai with approval of the government. That alone, you don't have the resources of job to do it. Yes, we enjoy all this freedom that we take it for granted. But let me ask a provocative question today. I want you to think about it carefully. In spite of all this freedom that we think we have, are you truly, really free? Are you truly and really free? My answer to you is no, no, no. To be truly free, we need to have Jesus. We need to have Jesus. Let me offer you some rationale. When we talk about freedom, there's no absolute freedom because my freedom, that God is the limit of my freedom, your freedom, because individual right, individual freedom always clash. And that's why we got law. Spell out the limit of the freedom that you and I can enjoy. I cannot turn my karaoke machine real loud and blast my whole neighborhood at 12 o'clock at night. Or could you drive anywhere when they say no trespass? Let's even take a deeper look at this question. I like to take a pessimistic view about life in reality. Because when you do that, I don't mean to be a pessimist, because I am an optimist, because in God we have the hope. But sometimes we take a step back and take a look at life the way it really is. So we can appreciate more what God has done for us. When we look at life at the bottom rung, we really are in a spiritual prison. We really are in a spiritual prison. We are prisoner spiritually. With Satan as the warden, our ultimate sentence is spiritual death. The difference between you and maybe other people is the fact that some of you have been pardoned by Jesus. When our time serving in this world is done, we'll go home to be free with God. And some people without Jesus, they will be bound and the sentence of spiritual death will be carried out. Yes, you and I need Jesus. We need Jesus. So why do we need Jesus? Well, I'm sure that most of you have gone to the theater and seen the popular movie, The Lord of the Rings. Remember that in the last episode, The Return of the King, one scene or photo that you showed, guy, got trapped in this big cave and was wrapped around by this spider web. Completely immobilize him. That's the way sin is. He entraps us. He immobilizes us. Do you have any choice? No, you do not have choice. He's so powerful. He tripped every step you take, every move you make. In fact, in Psalm 51, David, the man after God's own heart, he say, ask God's forgiveness for his transgression of adultery and murder. And he said, I know my transgression always before me. Always before me, he said. And then Paul, insightful to share in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 24. You know that the chapter, Paul gives all kinds of names, talk about carnal, Christian, all kinds of stuff. But mainly, he is talking about the reality of us as a human being in struggle, in this war battle against the entrapment of sin. He said, even when we don't want to sin, we cannot help but to sin. But to sin. The only help that we have is Jesus Christ. After a sobering and vivid description of struggle that he has with sin, he exclaimed in verse 24, Romans 7, 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can rescue me from this body of death? Sounds pretty gloomy, right? But verse 25 says, but thanks be to God, Christ Jesus, he can deliver you and me from the bondage of sin. Life is really funny sometimes. Not only we have to tackle with sin, and we discover, I discover, and some of you may discover, we have a collaborator inside us. The collaborator is called human nature, called the self, S-E-L-F. We're born selfish. We live selfishly. Now, I don't really go to a dissertation. The proof is the point. When a baby hungry, we say, meh, right, until you take care of it. When he wet his diaper, you better take care of it. And if you really are honest with me, think about for whom you spend most of your time and your money and your resource. You see, the reason is that we have a defective heart. Jeremiah shared with us in chapter 17, verse 9, he said, our human heart is most deceitful. Who can help it? There's no cure for it. Except a heart transplant. And God did, in fact, promise for those who accept Jesus Christ, we have a new heart and a new spirit. The prophecy of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. So the effects of sin and our selfish nature conspire together to cause the unsaved, unregenerated people, unbelieving people, to rebel against God. Have you ever talked to someone who does not believe God about God? I don't want to go into great detail, but I want you to write down in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 18, read about it. That's not very complimentary about the human nature. We do not know God, we do not seek God, we reject God. In fact, we sneer God. You see, we see God, before we believe Jesus Christ, as someone holding us back to do what our heart desires. See him as a stumbling block. We need Jesus to free us from the effect of sin and from ourselves. From ourselves. And there's a consequence to sin for rebelling against God. And that is judgment. Read Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, 15. Everybody, the powerful, the low, the good and the bad, we all have to stand in front of Jesus Christ for judgment. I hope that you're not sleeping about that today, because you wake up tomorrow, if you die,
you're going to be standing in front of Jesus Christ. Only difference that for those who accepted Jesus Christ, their name will be on the Book of Lamb. Then you were invited to live with God forever. That reminds me, when we took the cruise to Alaska, we had to go through Canada. And then we got to re-enter the United States when we went aboard the ship. And if you've done any travel abroad, when you came back from overseas, they want to see your passport, see your picture. They call your name up in a computer. Ha! Pastor Ling's picture's there. Passport is gone in. The same thing. When you meet Jesus face to face in judgment seat, your name is not on the heavenly immigration book. With your picture in it, Jesus knows what you look like. You will not be able to go in. And Romans 6:23 said, our destiny without Jesus is clear. Is dead. The wage of sins is dead. We need Jesus. But who is Jesus? Of course, we church people say, well, he's the Son of God, he's our Savior, and so on and so forth. But in today's scripture, it very specifically saying that he is the anointed one. Anointed one in Hebrew means it's a chosen one. Translated in Greek, Christ. Translated in English, to mean the Messiah, the Savior. In other words, he is the God-chosen one, the promise in the Old Testament, to come to set us free from the bondage of sin and of the world. So what? What is Jesus' credential? That many people claim to be Savior before. Let me use an illustration. When the Japanese attacked Hong Kong, I forget how old I was. I was attending kindergarten. I remember one day that my housemate and I walking downstairs. We heard siren sounded. We thought maybe fire. But as soon as we reached the bottom of the stair, my sister, already in school, ran back home, and we collided. The next thing we heard, gun sound, airplane, so on. Japanese invaded Hong Kong. My mother was about mid-20s with me and my sister. No friend, no relative. And with the Japanese took over Hong Kong, we were no longer able to receive monetary aid from my father to live. So we had to do something. We got trapped. So what are we going to do? Praise God, there was a woman came from our same village, knew a friend, Mr. Lee, willing to take us to go back to our village in Canton. But we just didn't jump up and take up the offer. We check out your credential. Who is Mr. Lee, anyway? Will you just follow anyone going anywhere without checking it out, the credential? Will you accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior without checking him out? If you do, you're a fool. But this Mr. Lee was a Christian, had a good reputation, and found out later on he's a rich Christian, owned a lot of land in Sun Wui, some of you know what that is, and a chalk factory, an oyster sauce factory. A kind man, therefore we trust him with our life, and he indeed took care of us, led us home. Same thing. When I say you need Jesus, what is his credential? His credential is awesome. First of all, we know that he is the Son of God. But who said? Well, God, the Father himself said he's the Son of God. During his baptism in chapter 3 in Luke, he said, you are my Son, whom I love, you I'm well pleased. And then and the second time, chapter 9, when Jesus and John and James and Peter was on Mount Transfiguration, where God revealed to these three disciples a little bit of Jesus' divine nature, his whole person was changed. His clothes became so white, so like light. And a voice came from heaven. This is my son whom I chosen, and said, listen to him. Not only God the Father attested Jesus the Son of God, but so of the evil spirit and demon. You read the Bible. Everywhere Jesus went, they always cried out, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of God? John the Baptist said he is Jesus, the Son of God. And who's John the Baptist? He's one to fulfill Isaiah chapter 40 prophecy that one will go before Jesus to announce his arrival. He's the Son of God. But more than that, he's also God the Son. This is what's different. Because in the human concept, the Son is always subordinate to the Father. No, no, no. He's God the Son. You can see that in Philippians 2:6. He said, in very nature, the very nature of God that Jesus has. And then in chapter 1 of John, it's a word was with God. And he was God. What does it mean? Well, this means Jesus is the omnipotent God, all-powerful and authority God. He has the power to carry out what he promised to you. His authority to forgive your sin and give your life. Not like the politician, the presidential candidate, say a lot of things right now, ready for the election. No matter how sincere the politician make their promise, they have no assurance to carry it out. Because there's Congress and there's all sort of stuff involved beyond their control. But God the Son has the total control and power when he says. He doesn't have to check with somebody if he promised to give you eternal life. You have it. You don't have to check with anybody and say, I'll give you my peace. You have it. Not only is he the omnipotent God, he's the omniscient God. This means he knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows your heartache. He knows your problem. He knows your need. He knows you even reject him. And yet he loved you, and he wants to, and he can, he will come to help you when you ask him. He will become your savior when you invite him to be your heart. He's not only the omnipotent God, omniscient God, he's the omnipresent God. This means he's a spirit. He can be everywhere with each one of you. He even with us here today. He said, lo, I will be with you even to the end of time. If you have Jesus with you, you don't need anybody else. Not only is he the Son of God, he also, one of the favorite titles called himself, he's the Son of Man. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, in Hebrew chapter 2, verse 14, it explains it clearly. He said, because Jesus Christ understands that you and I are made of flesh and blood. So he became one of us, identified, connect with us. So he can share our humanness, the trial, tribulation, the temptation, the pain. He knows everything about how you and I feel and going through or have gone through. And he showed us a way how to rise above the human circumstances. For he never exercised his divine nature when he was here ministering to us. As a son of God, he connect with God. He came from God. He knows the truth. He knows the truth that God loves you and me enough to give his only son that died on the cross for you. Billy Graham, what a Billy Graham classic message was on. This is his favorite expression. He said, even if you're the only person in this world, God loves you enough to die, let his son die on the cross for you. The truth is that death, physical death, not the end, but the beginning of a better life in heaven with you. As son of man, he connected with you and me. To show that we can overcome the lies, the intimidations of Satan, freeing us from all bondage. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can go to the Father except through me. He is the one. But more so, He is also our Creator. In chapter 1 of John, He said, everything that's anything has been created by Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16b, He said, not only created by Jesus Christ, but for Jesus Christ. You and I are created for Him. You and I are the apple of God's creations. You and I are God's greatest treasures. Let me ask you a question. How much do you think you're worth? How much do you think you're worth? I'm not talking about your bank account. How much do you think you're worth? And some scientists said if we burn up our body and collect all the chemical, it's worth about $2-3. You believe that? And there's a story. There's a newspaper about moving the rocket, you know, Francis, the point guard, and a few people to somewhere in Florida. And I was really shocked. He got a contract for $75 million. I cannot understand any athlete worth that much money. And yet, evidently, he thought he does because he negotiated with the Magic, I think, in Florida for many days before he agreed to go. How much do you think you're worth? Dollar-wise, no near what Francis worth or any athlete. But your worth should not be measured by monetary value. Your worth should be measured by the fact that God created you in His image. Why? Because He wants to share eternity with you. Someone share His attribute, able to talk to each other. Like the day you hardly wait for your little son grow up, you can sit across the table, talk to each other. He wants to share fellowship with you eternally. Then He never changed His mind ever since Adam and Eve fell. Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, he said, God continue to pursue a love relationship, continue a love relationship with us in real personal. He never gave up. So He sent His Son to die in our place to make sure that you and I have the way to go home. But how? Well, what was Jesus' mission? Oh, we theologians say, well, He comes seek and save the lost. Well, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to anybody? But today He Himself said it very clearly in the scripture we say, want to preach the good news. The word preach means telling forth, not telling forth. And telling forth, not His own idea, but God the Father had told Him to tell us. The good news to the poor. Not only poor materially, but particularly spiritually. And the good news is not something necessarily promised to come. The good news actually are actualized immediately when you accepted Jesus Christ in the immediate presence. Everything the Bible promised in the good news come together in Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. In Jesus Christ, you find a living proof of God's unconditioned love for you and me. Jesus chose to remain in the cross instead of calling the 72,000 angels with their bow ready drawn to do away the whole human race and get Him out. But He stayed there because of God and His love for you and me. In Jesus, we have the blessed hope of eternal life that's guaranteed by the Holy Spirit living in us. In Jesus, we have His peace. His peace transcends all human circumstance. You got trouble? Tell to Jesus about it. He'll help you go through it. He'll help you to weather the storm. The hope is other, but the last one, I want you to take it home. In Jesus Christ, you have the new identity. I'm no longer George Lim or Nancy Lim. I am a Christian. George Christian. You know, the word Christian, the last name of Jesus Christ, has been a little crisis. You become the children. Not only children, but prince and princess in God's kingdom. Co-heir with Jesus Christ. In the future, come again. Co-ruler with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about those things when you live here. Don't walk with your head down. Walk your head up. You walk around, I am a child of God, the prince and princess. Why am I feel so blue about this little thing coming my way? God will take care of it. God will take care of it. He came not only to preach the good news, to proclaim the freedom to the prisoner. We are in prison. We are controlled by the warden sanctum with lies. He said, what really matters is those things feel good, those things we can see, those things we can hear. Appeal to the collaborator inside out. But don't believe me? Just turn the TV on. Everything they sell is about appeal to our feelings, our senses. He also tells a lie that we can go to heaven by good work, by good ethical, moral persons, like many races believe. Lie. That you cannot go to heaven until you get adopted and become the child of God. It's not about work, not about goodness, about relationship with God. That get us into heaven. Free not only from the lie, but from the intimidation. Death is the end. Think of the body. When he died, that's the end. And that's why the health club, the vitamin business, become a $1 billion business. I'm guilty of it. I take a handful of vitamin like this every day. To keep this body going, 90% of our time and effort to keep this body going on. And to the point we neglect the real person of us, the spirit, living this body. But Jesus came to set us free and tell us the truth, demonstrate the truth, that he is the way to true freedom. And he also come to recover the sight of the blind. It is a metaphor about blindness. Blindness. He called the Pharisees and the teacher of the law blind guides. Because they focused on legalism, the external rather than the interior, the inner person. Not only that they are blind, they lead the rest of people to blindness. He came to tell the truth, open the eyes of all of us to see the truth. And that's why that miracle of open the eye of a man underscored the word born blind. We all are born blind. We're deceived. Our eyes are covered by the deceitful of Satan. Such a way we cannot see the glory of the gospel and the truth in Jesus Christ. He comes to do away with that. He comes to release the oppressed. The Jew was oppressed by the religious leader. Not only that, to obey all the law in the Bible, they add 720 more laws each day they're going to obey. And that's why Jesus was so angry. He went to cleanse the temple where the extortion was placed on the kind of animal they're supposed to use to make sacrifice and so on. And he also say he came to proclaim the year of the Lord. In other words, say, I come here to make a declaration of spiritual independence, like our 4th July Declaration of Independence. Except it's not just for American, not just for white people, black people, yellow people, for all people. He claimed today you can have true freedom. And then the destiny of human history has been changed so much since that day. In a hopeless world, without hope to get out of this place we call the world, the spinning around the sun, go round and round. You ever thought about that? Go round and round, but it goes nowhere. The only way you could leave this place after you die. And only two places to go to heaven or go with Satan. And he came to liberate us from this bondage of a hope to be with God forever. How do you do it? He gave his life. In the scripture said,
John chapter 129.
John the Baptist said, he's the sacrificial lamb could take the sin away from the world. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 19 and 20, when you read those scriptures, this was not a last-minute decision. These scriptures say that Jesus was chosen before the foundation of time. They decided, and Jesus accepted to come to die on the cross for our sin. I watched television the other day about memorial for veterans. There's one for the Korean. It said there, freedom is not free. Do you enjoy the way of life we have in America? It cost the life of many people. The Revolutionary War. You see the movie Patriot, you got the taste of it. The Civil War, Cold Mountain, another movie trying to portray it a little bit. There's 600,000 people killed in the Civil War. World War II, Saving the Private Ryan. 400,000 or more died. The Korean War. The Vietnam War, about 50,000 people died. There's no freebie in this world. People don't like war. Then this means I'm willing to give up the way of life in America. But I have not yet seen a protester tell me that they're willing to do that. It costs us the freedom living in this country. It costs us much more if we want to live in heaven with God. In fact, it costs us everything. There's a social critic named Neil Postman, right? Christianity is a serious and demanding religion, not a feel-good cakewalk religion. In fact, Jesus said, for those who follow me must deny themselves and pick up the cross and follow me every, and follow me. We must give up everything we have and follow Jesus. How do you do it? By complete obedience. How do you do it? By obedience to God's call and instructions. The cold hard reality of life is that no one ever free to himself. We are only free to choose. Choose God or choose Satan. If you do not make a decision, you already make a decision for Satan. There was a story about a young woman being auctioned in a slave block in Africa. Very beautiful lady. So the price kept going up. And until that one gentleman finally won the bid. And he had the certificate that owning this young lady. She looked at this man with defiance, hating every bone, every part of the person. But to her surprise, she took that particular paper and he ripped it and gave it to the young woman. You're free. You got nothing to lose by giving up yourself and with Jesus, but everything to gain. Romans 8:32 say, God did not even spare his only son. What good thing he will withhold from you? Will he not along with himself give you everything? Trust Jesus. Be truly free. We'll never understand the physical life in total. But you have a helper. You got an ally. You got a friend. You got a savior in Jesus. And he gave you the Holy Spirit living in you to lead and guide and comfort you through all situations. So let me close by give you three challenges. Let's not live a free life and lose your soul. Be born again from above. The word born again means also above, when Jesus told Nicodemus. This means that we're going to receive a spiritual stem cell therapy from Jesus. Got to shot the spiritual gene in us and completely regenerate our inside out, become a new creature, new person. Now we have not a collaborator inside us, but someone powerful, God Himself, to stand up to the bondage and deceit and intimidation of sin and the devil. Next, let us become truly free, body and soul, by knowing the truth. John 8:31-2. If you hold on to my word, Jesus said, you know the truth, that you're free. You must know what God's promise are in the Bible before you know what your privilege and benefits are. You cannot let it collect dust and walking around like a poor, homeless person spiritually around. Let us personify Jesus' truth with word and action. Jesus said, the harvest is here, the field is white, the worker is few. He wants you and I go to do the harvesting. This is what the Great Commission, Matthew 28, is all about, to make disciples. But not by word that you and I speak, but by let the living word, Christ Jesus, living through and out of our life. That's what he said, be my witness. He didn't say go to preach. He said, be my witness. Be a living epistle. Let's talk about it. You can do something about what you believe in your life and in serving God and sharing your gift. James said, faith is dead faith without actions. True freedom is found in surrendering to Christ. May God bless you with a happy, happy, exciting 4th July. Not only free bodily, but your soul and spirit. Walk out this century to be a free person alone. Time is short, but I assure you, God is interested in your life. I hope this message stirs your heart. If you got any questions, any decision you want to make, my brother, his name is Lim, actually, Ling. My little brother, Pastor Ling, and all the pastor and elder in the church are ready to hear and help you to receive the great liberator in your life, Jesus Christ. God bless you.